Well, as you guys know, throughout this year, and really it's been for a while here, the Lord has told me to get back to a pattern of teaching, which is what I did for many, many years before being coming here to Harrisburg. And that was, I'm a writer, and so I have to write and then to read what I have written and then allow the Lord to speak spontaneously and on the spot in the midst of me reading what I've written. And so I've been following that pattern and coming home and asking my wife, how did I do? And she says she's really been enjoying this, so I'm going to keep on. it also helps me to stay on the clock and stay timely to write. and then just trust the Lord to speak. Another advantage of writing these things down is that it gives you the assurance of knowing that this had to be God, and I didn't just say these things because you happened to be here that day, because I've been writing these things for the last few weeks, and whatever I'm happened to be ministering that Sunday, I've literally written it over a week ago, and so I would have no idea who was going to be there that any particular Sunday. So it gives you the assurance that, God, this must have really been you that told me to come this week to hear this word at this time. And I found that to be very important here in this area for us to move in this kind of a prophetic flow. So I want to just continue in that today. In 2013, as you know, we're teaching and praying from the theme, Fight for Your Family. And this teaching is based upon two passages of Bible scripture. In the Old Testament, we're following the pattern from Nehemiah, the fourth chapter, starting at verse 6. And you guys have heard me read this several times, but I'll do it again in your hearing. It says, so we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. In verse 7, now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored, and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry, and all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. And then jumping down to verse 13, Nehemiah says, therefore, I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I set the people according to their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. When of them, in other words, don't be afraid of Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites. And he said, remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. And so that's where the theme for 2013 has come from Nehemiah. Chapter 4, verse 14, to fight for our families. Now, from the New Testament, we're following the same scriptural instructions from Ephesians, the sixth chapter, which many of you are already familiar with, verses 12 and 13, which says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, if you remember that one, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. And he says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So we've been talking about the spiritual battle we face in covering the gaps in the walls that protect our hearts and our homes. And last week we talked about the illegal intrusions. Remember that? And we called that message home invasions. The illegal intrusion of Satan and demonic forces. And this week, we're going to talk about the legal intrusions. It sounds strange. Legal intrusion that the enemy can use to gain access to our hearts and homes. So today's message is being called the All Access Pass. So this is going to be enlightening, and we're going to slam the door. Remember that picture I told you to keep in your mind this week? Enemy walking up to the door of your house, and you wait till they get right up to the threshold, and then you right in there, slam the door in the enemy's face. And we're going to live healed and free in Jesus' name. So let's begin, as we always do, with our prayer of declarations to prepare the soil of our hearts to receive the word for today. Let's just say this together. It looks tilted to me, but It is. All right. Y'all can tilt your head a little bit. Lord, I pray that the word today would find good soil in my heart. I reject the thoughts of offense where the light of your word exposes my mistakes. I do not take offense. I will change and turn to you, my heavenly Father. I reject condemnation. Your word says that Jesus did not come to condemn people. This word does not come to condemn me, but it comes to heal me. I reject accusation. Satan is the accuser of brothers and sisters, and this word does not come to accuse me or abuse me. This word exposes Satan and his lies, and I choose to believe and receive the truth. God says in his word, blessed are my eyes, for they see, and my ears, for they hear. For many prophets and righteous men desired to see what I see and did not see it, and to hear what I hear and did not hear it. Therefore, I will hide your word in my heart, that I might not sin against or miss the will of God. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your word today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for this opportunity that you have granted for me just to share these thoughts. And I know that this is no new thing, for you have used thousands of men and women before me to write things down and then to share it with the body of Christ. But I trust you today that even though this is no new information, this is really nothing new, but it will do something new within us. So we open up our hearts to you. First of all, me as your servant, as the speaker, as the one who's really just a vessel for you to speak through. Chris Green decreases that you would increase. And in the authority of Jesus Christ, I stand against every work of the enemy that comes to steal the word, to distract, to be a hindrance in any way from us to be able to receive what you have for us today. In the authority of Jesus Christ, I bind every work of the enemy, every work of witchcraft, in the name of Jesus. You have no place here. You have no authority here. I don't beg you. I don't plead with you. I command you, get out now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, that we have ears to hear, hearts to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. One of the most sought after privileges of today's pop culture is for an individual to be granted a special pass that will allow them to enter an elite entertainment venue that is usually made available only to the rich and the famous, the affluent and the powerful. If one is able to get one of these special passes, not only can they enter some of these places like nightclubs and comedy clubs or large concert facilities, but once they enter the building, they can sometimes have access to going backstage or to enter certain exclusive rooms where they can meet the superstars of our day. Sometimes these passes are color-coded. Some have computer barcoding that can be quickly scanned to show what level of access that individual has attained. The ultimate pass is the one that reads all access. This means the bearer or wearer of this pass can go anywhere they want to go. Do you realize that we have the same type of passes that we give out to people that enter our lives? We don't give everyone access to our vehicles. Not everyone has access to your home. Then even within your home, not everyone has access to every room in the house. The same thing applies within our hearts. Again, not everyone has access to all of your deepest feelings, your dreams, your hopes, and your failures. You grant access only to certain people, and very few people are ever granted an all-access pass into your heart. Just think about that. Last week, I started talking about the way Satan and demonic powers break into our hearts and homes by way of illegal intrusion. They take advantage of our ignorance or of their devices and schemes and barge their way into our lives through the windows and gates of our souls. And the windows and gates to our souls are our eyes and our ears. I definitely encourage you to go back and listen to or watch the video from last week's teaching. This week, we want to begin exploring the concept of the legal access that we can grant to the enemy of our souls. Have you ever wondered why you can't seem to break the endless cycle of bad things happening after, you know, one thing after another, as if though there's some type of curse over your life, and no matter how much you try, you just can't seem to get anything in your life to go well for any significant amount of time? Have you ever said, I do not understand why the same things keep happening over and over? Don't raise your hand, but have you ever had that thought? Why? Well, today I want to present what the Bible has to say to Christian believers who just can't seem to break certain negative cycles. Well, to put it frankly, it's because you and I have handed out access passes to the enemy. In many ways, he doesn't have to break into your heart and home. We've handed him an access pass. He has access to certain areas of our lives because we gave it to him. He doesn't have an all access pass, but he does have enough access that we are in a constant battle and setback cycle. You may have grown frustrated with yourself and maybe even with God because no matter how much you pray, it seems like nothing really changes. Anybody say amen? Today, I boldly declare that God sent this message to answer your prayer. Today is an example of how God responds to us. Today, you're becoming more familiar with the ways of God. Bible says that the people of God knew God's acts, but Moses knew God's ways. So this is about understanding the way, one of God's ways. Most of the time when we ask God for answers, he sends the answer in the form of a seed. Hear me clearly today. We ask God for answers and he'll send the answer in the form of a seed. This is God's way. That seed is his word. The only thing that determines if whether the seed will have success is the condition of the soil, the condition of the heart. Jesus gave a wonderful parable so to let us know if rather we're going to have success with the answers that God sends to us. Many of you are familiar with this scripture, but I want to read it today from Matthew 13, starting at verse 3. It says, then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched. The seeds were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground, and yielded a crop, some 100, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Then jumping down to verse 18, where he explained the parable, therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, listen to that. When tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, you ever heard that before? Tribulation or persecution arises because of the word. immediately he stumbles. Now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, and indeed bears fruit and produces some 100, some 60, some 30. Jesus said, this parable is talking about the way the word of the kingdom, about the way the word of the kingdom is coming into your and my life. It comes to us like a seed being sown in a field. You see, when you gave your heart to Jesus, when you invited him to come in and take the throne, he brought with him an entire kingdom along with his presence. He brought a heavenly government and a new God-centered culture into your life. This culture is so completely different from the natural world that the only way to function in this culture is by something called faith. Faith is living totally by the insight that comes from God. Hear that clearly. You're in a whole nother culture has come into your life. And the only way to live in this culture is by faith. And first thing about faith is to understand is that faith is living by the insight that comes from God. That's going to create some problems already because we've lived our entire lives going by our own insight, going by the five senses. What I see, what I hear, what I smell, what I can taste, what I can touch. And now we're being told, in order to live in this new culture, I got to go from an insight beyond my own. Faith is aligning our lives up with the principles of the Bible so that we're living in agreement with or in harmony with God. Faith is stepping out and obeying God no matter what the circumstances or the situation is telling your brain and telling your emotions. Woo, that's a whole different culture, isn't it? So when you pray and ask God about the constant attacks and the cycles of the negative outbreaks that you can have, you seem to keep going through with people and your families, always the same stuff over and over again, on your job and amongst your circle of friends, then you have to consider the parable of Jesus and ask the tough questions. When you're looking at why this cycle keeps going on and on and on, then you got to stop. Ask myself the tough questions. When God answers my prayer, are the seeds falling by the wayside? Am I the one who does not understand what God is really saying to me? Because you have to understand, God is faithful. When we don't see certain things changing, we have to, first of all, separate God from this situation that's not changing. You can't say God is failing. Why isn't it changing? So ask myself the hard questions. Am I like the one who does not understand what God is saying to me? When God answers my prayers, am I like the one with a stony heart? Well, I was very excited at church when I heard the word at first. I was jumping and shouting and dancing. Yes, hallelujah. I went to T.D. Jakes' conference and I went to Woman Thou Art Loose. I went to the men's power. Yeah. And a week later. One week later, same old. I'm putting myself in that too, y'all. It really didn't take root in me. And as soon as tribulation and persecution comes, I forget all about the word and stumble right back into my usual response to life. When God answers my prayers, am I like the one who has a heart full of the cares of this life? And I call it the chase for money. The Bible calls it the deceitfulness of riches. I just used that phrase to maybe help understand it a little bit better. The chase for money. It's not saying that it's evil to be rich. It's talking about how deceitful the chase for money really is. Here's the deceit. It sort of goes like this. I just want enough to pay my bills and live a comfortable life. He said, what's deceitful about that? Well, that simple little desire will choke out the word. It'll choke out the word that God gave you to answer your prayer. Because if God doesn't give you the money that you're asking for, you think he didn't answer your prayer. So it chokes out the word that he gave you. Woo! In response to your prayer, God will send a word, talking about the ways of God. In this new culture, in this new kingdom, the way of God, we ask God for things, and God doesn't always give the thing. He gives a word. He gives a seed. For instance, to the one who has a need, his word says, give, and it shall be given to you. And the way you give out is the way it returns to you. Now you have a choice. Believe the word or let the cares of this life and the chase for riches choke out that answer that God just gave you. God, I need some more money. I need some more money. And he says, give. See what I mean about this different culture? Well, all I want is just enough to be comfortable. And he says, then give. But the chase for money says, what do you mean give? How am I supposed to make money if I'm giving money? How am I supposed to take care of myself if you're telling me to take care of everybody else? See, it's a different culture. This is messing with us, ain't it? Come on, just say thank you, Lord. And just remember, Pastor Chris didn't know who would be here today. Go ahead and say that. Pastor Chris did not know who would be here today. He just wrote it down a week ago, and he's just now. And by the way, I'm not about to take up an offering. I'm just making a point to show you how easily the word gets choked in our lives. That's how easily the deceitfulness of riches works. Because God gave a seed. I can't tell you how many times I've come to church through the years. I keep reminding you, me and Carol was not always pastors. Had no plans to be pastors, wasn't thinking about being no pastors. I can't tell you how many times we came to church, severe needs financially. Praying, begging God, please give me a better job. Lord, please give me a better income. God, please. And I get to church and all the pastor would talk about is give, give, plant, sow, volunteer, help. Like, are you kidding me? And there have been thousands of people have left churches because they think, and I know that there are those who are like that, but they think everybody's just after their money. But everybody that ain't after your money, that's saying you must give, you must invest, you must sow. They're not after your money. This is one of those seeds, kingdom word seeds that gets choked by the cares of life and the chase for money. Wow, isn't that something? Did you know that this is the reason why we've got over 1,000 video and audio clips? I'm not boasting, I'm just making a point. Daily encouraging video clips. Y'all probably like, Pastor Chris, you got something out there every single day. Yeah, that's important. I'm doing that on purpose. And a weekly newsletter and weekly online classes and our weekly Sunday gatherings. Why? It's because we want you to understand the Word of God. If you don't understand it, the Bible says, you won't become fruitful. Sometimes you have to read or listen to the word over and over and over until it finally becomes a part of you. Yes. those of you who came from other churches where the denominational teaching is really all that you know, you have to keep tasting and drinking this new flavor until you acquire the taste for the new over the old. Everybody that came from the old school denomination just say, yeah, it was hard when you first start hearing things beyond denominational teaching. You go, where did they get that from? Where is that in the Bible? And then some preacher like me would get up and they show you in the Bible. You go, I ain't never seen that before. I know, because they were teaching their denomination, but they weren't teaching the Bible. So when you start running into the actual teaching of the Bible, this flavor is different. In fact, the Bible says that. Jesus said, you people prefer the old over the new, because I don't like this new. You got to acquire this taste. And God don't just do it in the word. He just messes up everything. You run into all new expressions of worship, new kind of teaching, singing, music. God just started exposing you to all kind of stuff. You're like, woo. I'm used to what I grew up in. Earlier today, I was talking about the routine that we go through. You know exactly when service is going to start and when they're going to do testimonial service and when the choir is going to sing. And, you know, and they know it so rigidly that, you know, the ushers are on standby because they know who's going to shout this week. And, you know, because if you sing certain songs, they already know Sister So-and-so is going to run. The choir is doing her favorite song. She's going to run. Get ready. Put on your gloves. Get the sheet ready, because she's going to fall on the floor. Get everything ready, because it's going to happen. So when you come into some of these new expressions, these new things, it's a new flavor. It's a new taste. And what I'm getting at, sometimes we'll reject the word that God is sending us, because it's coming as a seed, and it's coming very unfamiliar. I want you to understand that when seeds are sown, there's no fanfare, there's no hollering and screaming. Farmers are planting every year and certain crops, and the machine just goes along. First it gets plowed up, and then the one that plants the seeds are just dropping, and there's not a sound, just. And we're so used to everything being sensationalized, we think that when we hear the, yeah, and God's gonna, I'm not against it, but that ain't the seed, that's an exhortation. It's an encouraging, it's actually coming to encourage a seed that's supposed to have already been sown. Yes, right. And so when God's planting seeds, that's why the prophet wasn't fooled by, I'm in the whirlwind and the thunder and the claps. No, I'm waiting for the still small voice. Because God does that. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That small voice. And you can ignore it so quick. And I've heard the still small voice in music styles and art forms that I didn't care for at all. Those of you that like country music, I'm sorry, I'm not putting you down. I know, but I have heard I didn't care for the art form all that much. All the guitars and all this, no, it just ain't me. But I have sat in meetings with country style music and I heard the small voice, y'all. Yes. Yes. And I felt God's presence. Yep. And He is here. And the preacher didn't hoop or holler. He just talked. He just talked real quietly, held his glasses like this, and just dropped seed, man. But it wasn't in the form I was used to. It wasn't in the style I was used to. And because it wasn't the way I was used to it, I rejected it. I rejected it. And therefore, the same old cycles in my life kept right on going. With me still asking, God is it? God? And the country style, it just said, right. Give and it shall be given to you. They even sung it in styles I didn't like. And they're like, give and it shall be given to you, given to you. Give and surely you'll receive. I couldn't stand it. Pressed down, shaking together, running over. And I didn't like the style, and like this, but there was the word. But because it was in the style and the beat that I didn't like, I rejected it and went back home and continued to be broke. And nothing changed until... Y'all laughing at me again. So faith comes by hearing and hearing the word over and over and over. That's what it says in Romans 10 chapter. Many of you are familiar with that scripture. It says faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And I understand that the Greek term for that word hearing literally means to hear it repeatedly, over and over and over and over. That's how faith comes. You keep hearing it over and over. So today I'm encouraging you to become like the soil or the person, that heart that understands the word of God and allows it to take root. Don't make an emotional response, but now begin to learn to make the quality decision to obey the word that God sends when he's answering your prayer. Sometimes when we pray, we want God to do something about the situation quickly, instantly. Anybody ever said, move now, God, move now? Yeah, I've done it. And there have been some move now God situations, and he did. But what happens to us is like spoiled little children, because God moved in the move now situation, then we tried to get God to move now all the time. You know, there are emergencies and there are those moments you need God to move now. You ain't even got time to even say move now. You just say Jesus. And he moves and he rescues and he delivers. He heals. He does it now. And then we go, oh. So all I got to do is just holler and say, move now. And he'll always do that. So we wait to the last minute on some situations and then we scream, all right, now, God, now. And then he doesn't. And then we're mad. Then we're mad because you did it last time. You did it for so-and-so. Sometimes we have a picture in our imagination of how God is going to solve a problem. Therefore, we tend to miss the answer when it comes through a seed. Instead of giving God access to that part of our lives that is hurting or disappointed or unchanging, or sometimes it seems like it's cursed, in our anger, in our disappointment, in our rebellion, we'll hand over an access pass to the enemy. Because Ephesians 4:27, many of you are familiar with that scripture, says, tells us to not give place to the devil. So what we need to take a closer look at is how we give the devil a chance. How we give the devil an opportunity or a foothold or a loophole or a free all access pass into our lives. In the context of this message today, we can give place to the devil in two ways. First of all, by rejecting the knowledge of God. And number two, by rejecting the wisdom of God. And first, let's talk about the legal passes we hand out if we reject the knowledge of God. When we reject the knowledge of God, we are choosing to live in ignorance. Contrary to the popular saying, ignorance is not bliss. How many of you found that out? Ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is deadly. What you don't know can kill you. Hosea 4:6 declares, and many of us are familiar with this scripture, Hosea 4, chapter 6, verse declares, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you, and listen to what he says, because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being priest for me. Because you have forgotten or ignored the law of your God, I will also forget or ignore your children. Now, this sounds like a cruel scripture, so let me help you understand what God is saying. It's saying there's simply no substitute for the knowledge of God. It's saying that when we ignore God's word, our children end up paying for our season or seasons of rebellion against God. That's what he's saying. We grant the enemy an access pass to our children when we ignore God's word. I saw on the news that a couple in Texas had been in a feud with a neighbor over their pets. A dog barking all night and pooping on the lawn and all that kind of stuff. And so this couple actually went and put the stuff on the other person's patio or something. So this neighbor got upset and went and shot and killed them. Yeah.
The people?
The people.
Dang.
He killed the couple because they put the dog's poop on his patio.
Oh.
The couple had 4 children, including a 1-month-old baby girl. Now all the children are orphans. This situation, and I'm not justifying what this neighbor did, but this is a perfect example of what I'm talking about, because the situation, of course, it escalated out of control, way out of control. The situation explains the meaning of this scripture, though. We can end up in an unnecessary fight and conflict with deadly results that can mean that our children will suffer the fallout. That's exactly what happened. They didn't respond in a godly way. They got ungodly results, and now the children suffer. That's what that scripture means. Obviously, I'm not justifying that neighbor, that murderer, but I'm exposing how far the evil one will take a situation if we are ignorant of God's word and God's ways. Whew. God is not sitting in heaven watching children suffer with some morbid sense of pleasure. This scripture is a warning. You have to look at it for what it really is. Sometimes because of different churches we may have grown up in or around, they may have preached and taught this kind of scripture, you know, like, and because you have forgotten the word of God, and God's going to forget your children. And it sounds like God is some cruel. I mean, no, this scripture is a warning. This is God speaking out of an agonizing heart. If you use your imagination, this is God speaking with tears, with sadness in his voice. This is a scripture saying, God is saying, when we ignore his word, he's not always going to step in to stop the consequences of our decision, even if that consequence is going to affect your and my children. So I speak to parents today. Please, if any parents that are watching, get your life right with God. Get your walk right with God. It's affecting your children. All of us who are parents, you know it's true. The way we live, it affects our children, the way we live before God. I have a relative who, in her backslidden stage of life, was hanging out with the real bad crowd. I mean, the gangsters and the thugs. And she had a baby by one of them, one of those young men, and she wanted to later on, still hanging out with those people, she wanted to take the child to one of her new friend's house. And somehow, I don't remember what the situation, what the circumstances were, but she was prevented from going. And that night, there was a shooting at that same house. She was going to take her baby. Her dad told her, any one of those stray bullets could have hit your baby if you had had her there. Again, a perfect example of this scripture. You're gonna not obey the word of the Lord, the God's ways, hanging out with the wrong people. You can be at the wrong place at the wrong time, and your child. That's what this scripture is saying. So I beg of you, please, please, please get your life right with God. Get in a good church. I know I'm not talking to those of you here, but I just felt led to do this today on the video. Get in a good church. If you haven't been going to church and you haven't been living right, get in a good church. This scripture is a warning to you. Your children will suffer for your failure to hear the word of God. It's not about you. All the parents in this room, you've learned that. Once you have a child, it ain't about you. No more. It's not about you. And that's a tough transition for many, men and women, young men and young ladies, to make, that once you bring that new life into the world, it ain't about you. You have to make decisions for what's best for that child. So I implore you. I don't know who I'm talking to, and there have been times when the Lord has led me to say certain things on video, and I later found out years later that somebody got the word at the right times. And I feel that. I feel God's presence even as I'm saying this. So whoever you are, you hear this video and you see this video one day, then I'm telling you, get in a good church, get your life right before God. Your children need a godly example in front of them. Stop talking about their mom. Stop talking about their dad all the time. You get right and get your children in a good church, in a good environment. It's going to save your life. It's going to save their life. Come on, bless the Lord today. Don't give the enemy that all access pass to your kids. Don't give him that. When we look at the suffering of children all over the world, people get angry with God and ask him, how can you let this happen? To which God, with great sadness in his voice, I believe, answers and says, no. How can you let this happen? You ignored my word. You gave Satan, demons, and evil influence the legal access to your children. Yes, there are many things that we don't know about God and his word. There are a lot of stuff that you may not know about the word and church and all of that, but clearly this scripture is talking about an intentional decision on our part to reject God's word when it comes to us. He says the reason we are being destroyed is because of the lack of knowledge, and the lack of knowledge is simply because we have rejected his knowledge. I see all kinds of postings every day with clever phrases and philosophies and ideas about life and relationships on Facebook. And if you're like me, I'm sure some of you that browse through Facebook and all these different social media sites, people got all kinds of great sayings and phrases, and they're always attached with really beautiful pictures with captions on them and all that kind of stuff. And I've got to tell you, although many of these quotes are very clever, they're not truth. They're not truth. Many statements are merely the conclusions that people have come to after they've been burned and hurt. And so then they form this inner fortress and these phrases to live by, to try to protect themselves from any future negative encounters. However, these quotes, and here's the other thing, here's the main thing, these quotes are not the knowledge of God, but here's the worst part. Many people read these quotes on Facebook, you know, a man ought to be able to do this, and a woman should be, and you know you got a good woman if she does, and a man, and all that stuff. And yeah, they click like, yeah, because I'm going to now live my life according to that. And what you just did was clicked and liked and said, okay, here, now have access, Satan and demonic powers, with this philosophy that's been posted on Facebook. Here's another pass that I'm going to hand to you to come into my life. Come right on into my love life. Come right on into my marriage. Come right on into my, here, have an access pass. Why am I saying that? Is Pastor Chris against Facebook? No, I ain't against Facebook. I'm just talking about there are things that people quote and say. It's a conclusion that they came to after they got burned, after they got hurt. So now they say, well, here is now the philosophy that I will live by. And then 100 people all click like and say, yeah, I'm going to do that too. And none of it came from God. Then Pastor Chris, you're saying every single thing I live by should be some word that comes from God? Yes. See how quickly I threw that in? Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. And I'll show you in a minute why. I'm not just throwing out a phrase and trying to make you be super deep and super spiritual, but I'm going to show you why in a minute. Because here's the rest of it. People adopt these views and these values. Have to understand, these are values that they're taking on, and they will pass them on to their children. And the children will be the one to be devastated when these unscriptural philosophies fail in their relationship. The only answer is to just humble yourself admit, here's the tough part, see, pride gets in the way, but just admit that I ignored God, I didn't do it his way, and now I'm going to run to him. Stop running away from him. Stop trying to figure it all out by yourself. If the relationship failed, don't go into, well, here's what I'm going to do to make sure it never happens again. No, just go all the way back to God. How did I end up in this in the first place? Where did I miss your voice? Where did I not listen to you? Help me, Lord God, to not do that again. The second way we can give the enemy an access pass is by rejecting the wisdom of God. And I'm almost done. When we are rejecting the wisdom of God, it means we choose to live in this very dangerous life of negligence. How many times have you heard of someone being sued for negligence? This means that even though somebody may know what they're supposed to do, they still chose to ignore it. You see, information, knowledge is just information, but wisdom is the application of the information. So you can know what to do and still say, nah, I ain't doing that. I remember as youth pastors, every once in a while, we get word back from parents who didn't like what we were teaching their children about holiness and living right before the Lord and what they were allowing to come into their lives and what they were entertaining and all of that. And every once in a while, there would be some parent who would send word back through their child and say, Pastor Chris ain't your daddy. Okay. All right. This is living life in negligence. Because it had nothing to do with whether Pastor Chris was your daddy or not. It's still the word of God. You know the word to do. I just knew that was one of those ones where the conviction hit home when the child went home and said, this is what Pastor Chris told us in youth meeting. And so since some of the words was convicting to the parents, then the answer was, well, Pastor Chris ain't your daddy. Well, what'd that have to do with anything? Oh, what it had to do was, well, we ain't living that way in this house. That's what it had to do with. I would rather choose, even though I know that this is what the word of God says, we ain't living that way here. That's negligence. When you know what you're supposed to do and you choose to reject it. In fact, it can have disastrous results. Proverbs first. Look at Proverbs, the first chapter, verse 25 through 27. It says, it's the voice of wisdom speaking, and it says, because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes like a storm, and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Again, some of you came from certain churches and ministries where read this scripture and said, see, God's going to laugh at your calamity and God's going to mock at your terror. That's not what the scripture means. Again, this isn't a cruel response by God. This is wisdom talking. And wisdom says, when calamity hits, just like you laughed at God's words of wisdom, my words will come back and laugh at you. Woo! Helps us understand a little bit better, doesn't it? Just like you mock the words of wisdom, those words will come back to mock you. It's being in that, and I've been there, in that situation where everything's falling apart and you're thinking about all of the stuff that you should have done to prevent this. See, the words are mocking you. All of the advice that you turned away. See, the words are mocking you. It ain't God mocking you, but all of what you should have done to get ready for it, it's right there, and now it's too late. That's what this scripture is saying. I alluded to this earlier when I talked about the consequences of rejecting the knowledge of God. When we reject the wisdom of God, it's because we have chosen another wisdom by which to live. We all live by some belief or some philosophy. We do. Some theme or some word of wisdom. Everybody does. The issue is, by what wisdom will you live your life? James 3rd chapter, verses 13 through 15 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth." That ain't me. That ain't me. He says, "This wisdom does not descend from above, but it is earthly, sensual, and demonic." Just take a quick evaluation of your life right now. If you're dealing with bitter envy and self-seeking attitudes in yourself or in your relationships, don't lie to yourself any longer. Don't lie about the situation. Just tell yourself the truth. This is what I was meaning about the Facebook philosophies and things. This, they are putting forth a wisdom that does not descend from above. That's why Pastor Chris answered like I did that question. Are you telling me that I got to live everything in my life according to the word of God? Yes, because the Bible says if you're not getting the wisdom that's descending from above, then you are living according to this earthly wisdom, sensual wisdom, or demonic wisdom. There ain't no other source of wisdom. That is either God or it's earthly, sensual, or demonic. There ain't nothing else in the list. And earthly wisdom means I'm just living by natural wisdom. I love it when Sister Marilyn always says God is learning how to live in the supernatural, because when you just live in the natural, that's earthly wisdom. Now, you can stay there. You can just stay in the earthly, natural wisdom with all of its limitations. But you'll reject the seeds when they come because it's not going to fit your natural wisdom. The other wisdom says it's sensual. It means emotional. It's based upon feeling. I just feel. There have been so many people that have rejected the word of God, the ways of God, the wisdom, the advice that has come because it don't feel right. I just didn't feel right when you said it to me. It's the way you said it. I didn't feel. Okay. It just seemed like the way you said that to me, you was just trying to make me feel some kind of way. So you can't live your life based upon, you can't make the decisions based upon sensual wisdom. And the last one is demonic. Just straight up, that was from the devil. And I want you to know that devilish demonic wisdom does not sound evil at all. It makes so much sense. It makes so much sense. Here's how much sense it makes. It makes so much sense that you feel like a fool if you do it God's way. Anybody ready to step out there and be a fool for the Lord now? It's that crazy stuff that God will tell you to do. I know I've been there. Me and my wife have been there. I remember in our early days of our marriage, we had this car. The tires always going flat. This one tire kept going flat all the time. In fact, every morning I'd have to put air in this tire just so that I could get to work. So we can get in. Y'all know about them slow leaks. You put air in the tire every morning, and it'll last you all the way to the next morning when you have to go and put air in it again. Okay. Finally, I bought a new tire, not even a used tire. We was really broke, and replaced it, and I put that no good slow leak tire in the trunk to be the spare. Pumped it up, full as it can get, and I always knew that you pretty much had, you know, you get a few hours out of it before it would go down, but I figured that'd be good if it's used as a spare, because you know, it'll last at least until I can get it done. Well, we took a trip to St. Louis, and on our way back, we had a blowout, and it was the only tire we had was that slow leak tire. that I knew it was not going to make the rest of the trip to get us back home. We were living in Tulsa at the time, and so we had gone to St. Louis, and we knew, and that's about 6.5 hour trip. I'm like, this tire is not going to make it if I put this spare that I know has a slow leak. But had no choice. Put the tire on. I'll never forget. I laid my hands on that tire, and all I said was, Lord, please. That was it. I'm talking about the supernatural. The going beyond the natural wisdom. Not only did we make it home on that tire, but lasted a whole week. Yeah! Even after we got back, the tire was still up. The next morning, I'm thinking I'm gonna have to get up and do the whole usual thing, but still. Went to work the next day. Still, it lasted a week until I was able to get a paycheck to buy my God. So this is what I'm talking about. Learning to live in this whole different wisdom, this whole different mindset. The seed that had been sown, I guess it found good soil, because the seed that came forth in that moment was, I ain't got nowhere else to go but to God. And I'm trusting you, God. All I wanted was just to get back home. We just wanted to make it. We were living in Tulsa at the time. We just wanted to get back to Tulsa. But I had nowhere else to go. Why am I saying this? Because, remember I said, that word keeps coming. And the word keeps coming. And the word keeps coming. And eventually there's going to be somewhere that word gets tested. And that's not the moment to go, oh, God, please, we stuck out here in the middle of nowhere. And that was the days before cell phones. There was no cell phones. Oh, God, what are we going to do? Because what I could have done was, after putting the tire on, was just try to make it to the next closest town and try to find a mechanic to replace all of this. And no, went all the way through. Because the natural would have been, say, stop, next exit, get a mechanic, pay probably $200 or $300 for, you know, because folks take advantage of you when you stuck out in the middle of nowhere. So what I'm getting at is, this is that whole new kingdom mindset culture, whole different thing. Receive the seeds, the words that are coming. Stop living according to the natural. Stop living according to my feelings. Stop listening to the demonic wisdom that comes from the enemy that tells us God's way don't work. I mean, and he says it boldly, it's not going to work. That don't make no sense. Who you think you are? I'm a child of God. I love him. I'm trusting him with my very life. We sung it this morning. My life is in you. My hope is in you. My strength is in you. It's in you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, bless the Lord today. So here is God's promise for you and the way to snatch the access passes out of the hands of the enemy. Proverbs 15:22 says, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. So make the decision to begin to take counsel and seek advisors. God's filling up this house with people who have been through some things. Listen to their stories. I'm going to keep putting them up here to talk and share. Listen. Make the decisions to begin to take counsel and seek advisors, not only from people who have failed like you have failed. That's an American thing for real. I'll only talk to the folks who've been through what I've been through. But you also have to learn to take it from those who have been successful in the areas where you may be weak. I remember a few years back in the 90s, I won't say this particular woman, very popular at the time. She was always on TBN and preaching and everything. And one of the things she said was, while she was single, She says, I need to hear about single life from somebody who's been single like me, I don't want to hear from nobody that's married. Well, okay. There are some folks who've been married who were single a long time.
That's right.
So if you could only hear it from single folks, then you'll miss the counsel.
Yeah.
Too many people are only willing to listen to people who are on the Titanic with them. They feel that because they're going through the same thing that I'm going through, that they can better relate to them. Well, of course. And I guess Pastor Chris is kind of saying this out of some of our experience, but one of the things that I know that I did myself. As a couple with a successful marriage, we've encountered people who felt that since me and Carol didn't fight the way they did, and we didn't separate, or we didn't have issues with adultery like they did, then we don't have much to offer them. They feel that only pastors who have been what they have been through can speak into their lives. And to this, I'll respond like this. Think about this, y'all. If you can only connect with someone who has gone through exactly what you have gone through, then why follow Jesus? Because he wasn't married, so why listen to him? He wasn't divorced, so why listen to him? He didn't get high and have problems with drinking, so why listen to him? Jesus didn't have a problem with lust and chasing women, so why listen to him? Jesus didn't have emotional problems, so why listen to him? Jesus didn't struggle with self-esteem and confidence because his dad or his mom wasn't around, so why listen to him? So if you can only listen to folks who've been with you, then why follow Jesus? If someone has to be in the same boat that we're in order for us to listen to them and get healed and set free, then we're going to suffer a long time before we get the point. Eventually, you better get on board with somebody whose boat is not sinking. Amen. We turn to Jesus, even though he didn't experience the exact same thing as us, because we know he loves us. He died for us. We know that we can overcome because he overcame sin, death, hell, and the grave.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord God. The Bible says he's been touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but it didn't say he physically experienced everything that we experience. So if you want a successful marriage, talk to somebody who's had a successful marriage. Why am I saying this? Because we must learn to take counsel. Many advisors. The Bible says plans fail for lack of counsel. But with many advisors, what succeeds? The plans succeed. Wow. Why am I saying this? These words, these are the kind of words of wisdom that will snatch the all-access pass out of the hands of the devil. It'll take it. If you want a successful business, talk to someone who's got a successful business. If you want to be a successful parent, talk to successful parents. If you want to be a success, then talk to someone who is doing something well, not just to the people who are struggling like you. Woo, come on, thank you, Lord. I know it can seem like, why is Pastor Chris saying all that? Because actually, even if it's not in your situation, in your life, in this room, or those watching, then I want you to understand that these are spiritual principles and spiritual matters that the enemy slips in, because sometimes we have rejected the seed because it came through somebody who hadn't been through what you're going through. So you look at them and say, well, you don't know what it's like. I've had it, especially as a black man. As a black man talking to white people, or white people talking to me as a black man, and I just, y'all, you don't know what it's like to be black, so I ain't. I How many of us have done it? Come on, just say amen. Yeah. I just figured they don't know what it's like to be black, so they saying all those words and quoting all those wonderful scriptures. And we do it to Joel Osteen. He's probably number one on the list. Well, Joel, you there 30,000 people living in Texas, all white country background. You don't know what it's like to be living in the city. All them positive words about God to do this and do that. Joel. But he doesn't have to have our exact same experience for them to know that God can be trusted. And these seeds that I'm sowing into your life ain't got nothing to do with whether I've been through the same thing as you. It's the same God. Bless the Lord. Come on, say thank you, Lord Jesus. So let's snatch the all access passes away from the enemy. Finally, we close with this word to take back all the access passes. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3 says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, whoo, I like that. Whatever he does prospers. I'll go into more detail with this scripture next week. Stay tuned. But for now, please look at this goal for your life. Say this to yourself. I want to be like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season and whose leaf does not wither. And can you imagine this? Come on, this is where you get past the demonic wisdom and actually say the word of God. And to have whatever I do to prosper. To have whatever I do to prosper. Now, I want you to understand the word, what it really means to prosper. A business is considered prosperous when it has more gains than losses. It's not that it doesn't have any losses, but my gains outweigh the losses, and therefore I am profitable. So the enemy will tell you, well, look at this, you lost this and you lost that. What do you mean? Whatever you do shall prosper. That means that when we look at the bottom line of my life, there's far more gain than the losses. Therefore, I am prosperous. I am fruitful. Come on, bless the Lord today. So I want you to join me and just say these together, everybody in the room, just this first sentence all together, everybody. I rescind every access pass that I handed over to the enemy. Next one. I take them back now. Thank you, Lord. The next one, I close the doors. I close the doors. Next one, Satan and demonic powers no longer have all access passes in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Come on, bless you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we receive this, your word today. We rescind all those access passes. We take them back. The things that we rejected your word, because of the package that it came through, or we just didn't understand it, where we allow the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches to choke it. Sometimes we receive stuff emotionally, but Lord, we take back all those passes we handed out to the enemy because we didn't receive the word. Lord, in the places where we rejected your wisdom, we knew what to do and we just didn't do it. We can't go back in time and do it over again. But we're not going to live our lives in regret over the should'ves, could'ves, would'ves, and supposed to haves. We just, Lord, we repent. We run to you. We run to you. Yes, Lord God. And we trust you for everything happening in our lives now. We receive your wisdom. We're not going to go by feelings. Yes, Lord. We're not going by the natural. And we certainly reject the demonic. We choose the wisdom that comes from above. Yes, Lord, your wisdom, your way, your word. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, bless the Lord today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your power, your word, being upon this, your people. I sense your presence today, and I thank you, Lord God, for the word that has come like a hammer to shatter and break every stronghold of the enemy. Thank you, Lord God.